Some of the people who came as part of the Back to the Land movement really didn't identify themselves as a hippie. They were more into the Back to the Land movement as proposed by Scott and Helen Nearing in a book called Living the Good Life. And they really wanted to just have their own little plot of land where they could live their lifestyle and put, as they called it, a light footprint on the earth. Others would have looked like what we all call a typical hippie, you know, a tie-dyed shirt, long hair, Birkenstocks. But they also wanted to move back to the land because they were tired of what was going on around them in the country, in the city, with the Vietnam War, with the issues with the environment, and just the materialism that they saw in general. At one point, it's been estimated that over 1 million people left the big cities and went back to the land or went to communes or homesteaded somewhere. Now, obviously, they didn't all stay, and we surely didn't get 1 million people, but we did get about 10,000.
What was the reaction from West Virginians who already lived here to the hippie homesteaders? Was it mixed? Were they mostly supportive? Were they mostly against the hippie homesteaders for moving here?
I would say mixed, but veering to the supportive side. The reason I say that is because almost every single person I talked to told me that if it hadn't been for, and they would name somebody, they would have died of starvation or frozen to death. And these were people who lived on the land, were rural farm folks whose kids had left and gone to the big cities. So now when you have the reverse migration of these people coming in, they saw a kindred soul. They saw kindred spirits of people who wanted to take up what they'd been doing for generations, and they sort of adopted them. Now, there, of course, were people who thought it was just a bunch of wild-eyed hippies who were, you know, smoking pot and influencing their kids. But for the most part, the stories that I'm told by these homesteaders is that neighbors down the street took care of them. And they were astonished at that because they'd come from big cities where neighborliness wasn't the norm.
Tell me about you. You mentioned that a lot of people came here. Did you find from working on the book, did many of them stay or did many of them leave West Virginia?
Well, yes, a lot did leave. But what I found interesting was the sort of happy coincidence of what was going on in the state when these people came and what made these artisans in particular able to stay and be successful. In 1963, we had the first Mountain State Art and Craft Festival, and it was to celebrate the state's centennial. The Department of Commerce, prior to that, recognized that this was coming up, and they decided to have 100 craft events or events that would include a craft fair across the state to celebrate the centennial, 100 years, 100 events. And they sent Don Page and a couple of other people out to look for artisans who would participate in these fairs, particularly in the Mountain State Art and Craft Fair. Now, the first year, the fair only did have indigenous artisans, older people in it that were basket makers or shingle splitters, blacksmiths, a number of things like that. And it was fairly small. But as Don continued to go out into the hinterlands, he found not only these indigenous artisans, people whose generations went back to the beginning of our state, but he found all of these hippie homesteaders. And he didn't care one way or the other who they were. He just wanted a good artisan. And the state then was willing to provide scholarships for these people to study further to enhance their work or paid their way to come to the Mountain State Art and Craft Fair or put them in artist-in-residence programs in the schools. So that support is really what undergirded their beginnings of their careers.
So what do you feel is the legacy of the hippie homesteaders to the story of West Virginia? What is their legacy?
That's easy. Tamarack. If we hadn't had these people, many of these artisans were the initial board of directors and the very first artisans whose work was either included in the building or included on the sales floor. The other legacy is Mountain Stage. We wouldn't have that either if it hadn't been for the Putnam County Pickers, none of whom are from West Virginia. We wouldn't have, or from Larry Gross and Annie Ridenour, who both came from somewhere else, we would not have Mountain Stage.
Do you feel in any, is there a resurgence in this concept? I mean, are people from cities coming to West Virginia and places like that now, places like West Virginia now that are rural? Is there a resurgence in the hippie homesteader movement?
Yeah, I think there is. I was at the Appalachian Studies Association conference last month in March, and my lecture was attended by a number of young people who were very curious about how they could go about doing this themselves or were trying it. I think it may be more, the emphasis may be more on organic farming and living without pesticides and GMOs and all of that sort of thing that's going on, as opposed to a protest against social ills. But I do see young people looking for ways to do that.